9. Walter, alone in the darkness, still found it impossible to sleep. He had never slept alone before in his short life. Always Jem or Ken near him, warm and comforting. The little room became dimly visible as the pale moonlight crept into it, but it was almost worse than darkness. A picture on the wall at the foot of his bed seemed to leer at him. Pictures always look so different by moonlight. You saw things in them you never suspected by daylight. The long lace curtains looked like tall, thin women, one on each side of the window, weeping. There were noises about the house, creaks, sighs, whisperings. Suppose the birds in the wallpaper were coming to life and getting ready to pick out his eyes. A creepy fear suddenly possessed Walter. And then one great fear banished all the others. Mother was sick. He had to believe it, since Opal had said it was true. Perhaps Mother was dying. Perhaps Mother was dead. There would be no Mother to go home to. Walter saw Ingleside without Mother. Suddenly, Walter knew he could not bear it. He must go home, right away, at once. He must see Mother before she died. This was what Aunt Mary Maria had meant. She had known Mother was going to die. It was no use to think of waking anyone and asking to be taken home. They wouldn't take him. They would only laugh at him. It was an awful long road home, but he would walk all night. Very quietly, he slipped out of bed and put on his clothes. He took his shoes in his hand. He did not know where Mrs. Parker had put his cap, but that did not matter. He must not make any noise. He must just escape and get to Mother. He was sorry he could not say goodbye to Alice. She would have understood. Through the dark hall, down the stairs, step by step, hold your breath. Was there no end to the steps? The very furniture was listening. Uh-oh! Walter had dropped one of his shoes. Down the stairs it clattered, bumping from step to step, shot across the hall and brought up against the front door with what seemed to Walter a deafening crash. Walter huddled in despair against the rail. Everybody must have heard that noise. They would come rushing out. He wouldn't be let go home. A sob of despair choked in his throat. It seemed hours before he dared believe that nobody had wakened up, before he dared resume his careful passage down the stairs. But it was accomplished at last. He found his shoe and cautiously turned the handle of the front door. The doors were never locked at the Parker place. Mrs. Parker said they hadn't anything worth stealing except children, and nobody wanted them. Walter was out. The door closed behind him. He slipped on his shoes and stole down the street. The house was on the edge of the village, and he was soon on the open road. A moment of panic overwhelmed him. The fear of being caught and prevented was past, and all his old fears of darkness and solitude returned. He had never been out alone in the night before. He was afraid of the world. It was such a huge world, and he was so terribly small in it. Even the cold, raw wind that was coming up from the east seemed blowing in his face, as if to push him back. Mother was going to die. Walter took a gulp and set his face towards home. On and on he went, fighting fear gallantly. It was moonlight, but the moonlight let you see things, and nothing looked familiar. Once, when he'd been out with Dad, he had thought he had never seen anything so pretty as a moonlit road crossed by tree shadows. But now the shadows were so black and sharp, they might fly up at you. The fields had put on a strangeness. The trees were no longer friendly. They seemed to be watching him, crowding in before and behind him. Two blazing eyes looked out at him from the ditch, and a black cat of unbelievable size ran across the road. Was it a cat? Or... The night was cold. He shivered in his thin blouse. But he would not mind the cold if he could only stop being afraid of everything, of the shadows and the furtive sounds, and the nameless things that might be prowling in the strips of woodland he passed through. He wondered what it would be like not to be afraid of anything, like Jem. I'll just pretend I'm not afraid, he said aloud, and then shuddered with terror over the lost sound of his own voice in the great night. But he went on. One had to go on when Mother was going to die. Once he fell and bruised and skinned his knee badly on a stone. Once he heard a buggy coming along behind him and hid behind a tree till it passed, terrified lest Dr. Parker had discovered he had gone and was coming after him. Once he stopped in sheer terror of something black and furry sitting on the side of the road. He could not pass it. He could not. But he did. It was a big black dog. Was it a dog? But he was past it. He dared not run lest it chase him. He stole a desperate glance over his shoulder. It had got up and was loping away in the opposite direction. Walter put his little brown hand up to his face and found it wet with sweat. A star fell in the sky before him, scattering sparks of flame. Walter remembered hearing old Aunt Kitty say that when a star fell, someone died. Was it Mother? He had just been feeling that his legs would not carry him another step, but at the thought, he marched on again. He was so cold now that he had almost ceased to feel afraid. Would he never get home? It must be hours and hours since he had left Lowbridge. It was 3 hours. He had stolen out of the Parker house at 11, and it was now 2. When Walter found himself on the road that dipped down into the glen, he gave a sob of relief. But as he stumbled through the village, the sleeping houses seemed remote and far away. They had forgotten him. A cow suddenly bawled at him over a fence, and Walter remembered that Mr. Joe Reese kept a savage bull. He broke into a run of sheer panic that carried him up the hill to the gate of Ingleside. He was home. Oh, he was home. Then he stopped short, trembling, overcome by a dreadful feeling of desolation. He had been expecting to see the warm, friendly lights of home, and there was not a light at Ingleside. There really was a light, if he could have seen it, in a back bedroom where the nurse slept with the baby's basket beside her bed. But to all intents and purposes, Ingleside was as dark as a deserted house, and it broke Walter's spirit. He had never seen, never imagined Ingleside dark at night. It meant that Mother was dead. Walter stumbled up the drive across the grim black shadow of the house on the lawn to the front door. It was locked. He gave a feeble knock. He could not reach to the knocker, but there was no response, nor did he expect any. He listened. There was not a sound of living in the house. He knew Mother was dead, and everybody had gone away. He was by now too chilled and exhausted to cry, but he crept around to the barn and climbed the ladder to the haymow. He was past being frightened. He only wanted to get somewhere out of that wind and lie down till morning. Perhaps somebody would come back then after they had buried Mother. A sleek little tiger kitten someone had given the doctor purred up to him, smelling nicely of clover hay. Walter clutched it gladly. It was warm and alive. But it heard the little mice scampering over the floor and would not stay. The moon looked at him through the cobwebby window, but there was no comfort in that far, cold, unsympathetic moon. A light burning in a house down in the glen was more like a friend, As long as that light shone, he could bear up. He could not sleep. His knee hurt too much, and he was cold, with such a funny feeling in his stomach. Perhaps he was dying, too. He hoped he was, since everyone else was dead or gone away. Did nights ever end? Other nights had always ended, but maybe this one wouldn't. He remembered a dreadful story he had heard to the effect that Captain Jack Flagg at the harbor mouth had said he wouldn't let the sun come up some morning when he got real mad. Suppose Captain Jack had got real mad at last. Then the Glen light went out, and he couldn't bear it. But as the little cry of despair left his lips, he realized that it was day.